Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. This is a landmark episode because I'm joined today by the podcast's first ever guest, Harry Wells. Hi, Harry, how are you doing?
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for being here. It's exciting stuff.
yes, it is. Yes, I'm excited to get going.
So Harry is a friend of mine that I know through non-film related channels, but interestingly, he's actually in the last couple of years started screenwriting. So Harry, do you want to tell me and the lovely listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, so basically I kind of started out about 2.5 years ago. It's kind of at like a, well, basically I've always wanted to kind of tell stories. I've done it since I was quite young. Then all of a sudden one day I kind of just got this kind of itch to kind of write a script.
Yeah.
I had no idea how. I didn't know any formatting or anything. So I kind of downloaded this little kind of free screenwriting software and just kind of started going.
Yeah.
And I finished it in like 4 days, I think, something like that.
Oh.
And it was probably the worst script you'll ever read.
It's hard to get the hang of like that sort of thing into that format. It's quite different from normal writing. Did you find that was quite a big adjustment to make?
It was. Like I say, it was very, it's a lot more simple, but it's a lot harder to kind of get to kind of grips with. And kind of, you, like I say, I kind of bought the books to kind of learn a bit more. And then I kind of went and paid for an actual kind of screenwriting formatting software. And we kind of just went from there. And I've kind of been learning as I write. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way to do anything. It's something, so I've looked into it because obviously, I mean, I'm a writer by, that's what I do. But I could never wrap my head around it. Just I think it requires a sort of persistence that I don't struggle with in normal writing, but doing it in that format, I just can't
sort
of maintain that level of output. So, I mean, hats off to you, definitely.
Thank you.
How many screenplays have you written now?
I've written 4 feature-length screenplays. I've written about 6 short screenplays, and I've written a kind of TV series, like a set of 6 30-page episodes. So, yeah, still pretty fresh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all the more impressive then that you've actually had 2 that have done quite well in sort of competitions and stuff.
Yes,
So do you want to, I mean, I've got them written down here because I always have a cheat sheet. But did you want to maybe just explain a little bit about that? Because I don't know much about these.
Yeah, well, basically, towards the end of last year, I started to enter my work into festivals.
Yeah.
Screen festivals on Film Freeway. And I just started to send a few off. And the first one I sent was a short script of mine called Not Alone.
Yeah.
It's a short horror script, like a literally zero budget.
Yeah.
I kind of sent that in. And then I get a kind of email saying, oh, yeah, you've made it to the semi-final stage. I'm like, okay.
Mad,
yeah. So, I wasn't really kind of expecting that. But, yeah, cool. It didn't get past that. But still, like I say, chuffed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they must have hundreds, thousands of scripts sent in. So that's really impressive.
And since then, I've kind of entered more. I've entered some of my feature length stuff and more shorts.
Yeah,
I've got to a few semi-finals and finals, and selections and stuff.
Yeah, you had one. Didn't you have one win best feature script as well?
Yes, yeah, that's the most recent one. That was in June.
Yeah,
that's from my script Stuck in the Past, which was actually the first script I ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah, the one that was awful. Yeah. Well, that was absolutely awful. But since then, I've kind of gone back on it about 13 times.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the key with anything creative, isn't it? It's just being able to keep sort of working at it, keep chipping away and being able to look and say, this needs changing. And, you know, the more you learn, I guess the easier that gets. So do you tend to write in sort of specific genres or do you just kind of dip in and out? I know some people are one way, some people are another.
Well, it's kind of a strange one. I'm kind of, my favorite genre to write is comedy. I really enjoy writing comedy because, you know, a lot of times in my you find a lot of comedy films, the main kind of protagonist in it is always the he's kind of a laughing stock, and he's a bit of a joke. He's a bit of a loser.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times in my life, I've been a bit of a loser. So,
I can relate too.
So it's very easy to write about that.
Yeah. I find comedy is actually one of the more difficult things. Sort of in my experience, I mean, obviously not screenplays or anything, but in writing stories and fiction and stuff, I find comedy is actually quite tricky to nail the tone.
Yes, it is.
Because obviously, I mean, I can be funny. I think everyone can be funny, but yeah. I'm quite a comical person, generally speaking.
Yeah,
but
yeah, of course.
I find putting that into a story, especially, and sort of finding a way to have a coherent story alongside sort of organic comedic material, I find that really hard. So, I mean, that's, if that's one of your strengths, that's...
Comedy is hard because it's kind of, it's like... Everyone has a different sense of humor, don't they? So, you know, people our age, we like the in-betweeners, the stupid stuff like that. Whereas you get someone who's maybe a bit older and they watch the in-betweeners and they think,
that's
awful. Yeah. So it's really hard to kind of get that.
I do think sort of social awkwardness is a big thing that people find funny. I guess everyone can relate. And that's, I guess, the key to good comedy. But yeah, I've always found comedy the hardest. So yeah, that's really impressive.
thank you. Yeah, I like horror as well. I quite enjoy doing that. But
yeah, I mean, I find horror probably the easiest to write. It's all about atmosphere, and I guess with a screenplay, that's quite a different beast, really, because horror is not about dialogue; it's about sort of the atmosphere, which isn't predominantly down to the screenplay, I guess.
No.
I mean, you can put in what you put in, but if it doesn't get the right director, it's just not scary. And it's the same with anything, I guess.
Yeah. A lot of horror stuff is kind of based around jump scares in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. And I personally, I don't find, in terms of watching horror, I find horror that relies a lot on jump scares isn't lasting horror.
No.
I think real good horror is horror that's sort of a slow burn. Like I watched Midsommar recently. Have you been?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. No,
it's really sort of like it is really slow burn horror. It's this really slow realization of what's happening, and it's written in a way that the characters can't plausibly get away.
Sort
of plays on these themes of sort of social otherness and stuff that. And I find that sort of horror is really engaging, but your general sort of jump scare horror, it's good once or twice. And then after that, I just find there's no rewatch sort of.
Exactly. You're kind of just sitting there kind of uncomfortably, aren't you? Just kind of waiting for the next jump scare to the point where you don't really care about the story. It's just
waiting on
the next jump.
So, I mean, in terms of screenwriting, has it changed the way that you sort of watch films, the things you look at when you're watching film?
Yes. I drive my friends and my girlfriend mad. I constantly say, oh, that easily could have been written better.
Or
that's wrong.
I mean, I do the same, just constantly analysing sort of every aspect of plot, of performance, like the editing. People hate watching anything with me. But
that's it. It's a good learning kind of curve when you watch these films, because I kind of like to sometimes read the script whilst I'm watching it in a way.
Yeah.
And they can sometimes, it should be completely different from what it reads on the script.
Yeah. I guess it gives you a really good idea of how, what you're writing will translate to the screen. So I hadn't thought of that actually. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Like I say, a lot of this, like I read the Hangover script the other day, the original spec script that was sold.
Yeah.
And that is, it's almost a completely different kind of story to the actual film.
Really? It's not something I tend to think about, which is weird given that I'm a writer that covers film, but I don't tend to think about sort of that aspect when I watch a film. The Hangover for me, sort of thinking about, I've not seen it in years, but when I think about it, I do think about Zach Galifianakis. But you think about his performance and that sort of real weirdness that he has, and yeah, I've never really considered how that was captured on the page and how much of that was what he brought along. And
I think a lot of it would have been him. Because the second a spec script gets sold to a production company, they can then do whatever they want with the script. They can literally fire you from writing the rewrite, and they can hire three other guys to come and change it up almost completely.
I mean, you come across this a lot when you're sort of, if you're interested in the behind the scenes stuff, reading about films. And I've always found that's a really consistent theme in the stories of like bad productions and films that have completely failed.
Yes.
is having constant rewrites by different people. It just completely derails the tone of the film.
Absolutely. And,
yeah, I mean, as much as I sort of understand this sort of studio's need to, okay, well, that's a really good idea, but let's get this person in to redo it. I think surely if you're buying into something like that, you're buying someone's sort of creative property.
You would have thought so.
I don't know why you wouldn't honor their sort of, if you like what they've put together. I fail to understand.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Sort of why you would cut them out, but mad, crazy. Absolutely.
All
mad.
Writers get screwed over.
Oh, big time.
Quite a lot, which is a shame, but part of the business, I guess, isn't it? So
I guess a lot of sort of really successful writers do sort of go into, they produce their own films in the end.
That's
myself, and that's how that's what I was asking about, if you'd seen Midsommar or Hereditary, because that's what Ari Aster did, the director there. He wrote the film, planned out every shot he wanted, and then he basically, when he sold the script, they said, yeah, sure, you can make it. And an exceptional film. It's it's something to behold, really. But it's rare that sort of follows from conception right through to the finished product. So
I do definitely think that writing and aiming to kind of direct it yourself is certainly a good way to go. But obviously, you need the funds. You really need the funds if you're going to do something big. It's like with shorts. Like I say, every short script I've done, I've planned to direct it myself somewhere along the line, just because I know that they won't cost an arm and a leg. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if you, again, like, you've got that idea of when you're writing it, you're picturing it as you're writing
it.
You know what you want it to look like, and I mean, putting that in the hands of someone else it's essentially sort of, once it's gone, it's like, okay, well, that's not mine anymore.
Yeah, it's daunting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, what are your favourite, I mean, not necessarily just from a writing point of view, but what is a film to you that really stands out as well written, well made, just sort of one of your favourites?
Probably say the best film I've ever seen, and it's crazy because I literally only saw this film about 3 years ago. The best film I've ever seen is probably Back to the Future. I'd say that's got everything to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a real, I know it's like a really, you know, crazily popular film, but it's that is, like I say, it's kind of one of those films I can watch over and over and over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think that's like 3.5 decades old now, that you can still watch it now and it still looks great. Still, the story works. It's, you know,
yeah, it's just a classic. It's just an absolute classic film, and it's always one I kind of go back to seek kind of inspiration from, because it really is a great film.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think as well, sort of because it's sort of that bit older, I guess there's a nostalgia to it. Like, I remember watching that as a kid, like as a, I don't know, 6-year-old, sitting and watching Back to the Future, and just blew me away that sort of could be made like that.
Yeah.
And the visual representation of, I classify it as like everyday sci-fi. Like,
that's it. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
It's not some far flung space opera. That's a, you know, small town occurrence. That's a good shout. Definitely. Yeah,
that's a classic. Absolutely.
You know what? I've just watched, I have reviewed it. I've not posted the review yet, but I will. I'm a bit ashamed that it's taken me this long, but I've just watched Parasite.
Oh, that's the one that won the Oscar, right? Won the Oscar.
Yeah. Do you know what? In terms of like how the story is written, it's just such a. It's the first film I've ever watched that I couldn't pick a hole in it. It's just got this really tight story. Can't recommend it enough.
It has been on my watch list for a long time. I keep meaning to get around to it.
It's been on mine for at least a year now, but honestly, sit down. I mean, you've got to be in the mood for it, because it's all in Korean, so you've got to be reading the subtitles, unless you speak Korean. I mean, I don't. But,
neither.
I could not take my eyes off of it. It's got the whole package. So yeah, that's. But again, it's a genre thing, isn't it? A lot of people aren't. Sort of, we've all got preferences, and that's not for everyone, I guess. It's a sort of thriller. There's a bit of dark comedy in there, but it's really subtle.
I definitely would love to watch that. Like I say, I need to get around to it. It's just
finding the time sometimes, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
It's okay. So I've got to ask. Now we've talked about a film that stands out as a really well written film. What's one you've watched that was really badly written?
Oh, blimey! There's a few. There was a Netflix one a few years ago which I watched, and I literally spent the whole time thinking, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah,
It was had Emma Watson in it. It was The Circle. Was it called?
I've not seen it.
And I just, you know, the premise was pretty good. Just kind of it was kind of all based on social media or something like that, and I just thought, I don't know, it's just the execution was poor. I didn't enjoy it.
That's actually, there's a few that I sort of spring to mind when I think about, but it is hard to tell if it's bad writing or it's been sort of adapted poorly. But one that I can't ever get past is one that I think a lot of people quite enjoy. It's a bit of a cult following, but it's called The Box.
Heard of that.
Again, it's a film with a really good premise. Something about, you get this box in the post, and inside is a button, and you know there's like instructions that say if you press it, someone somewhere will die, but you will get like $100,000 or whatever. So there's this sort of moral dilemma at the heart of it. And I barely remember anything else about it. Like, it was that forgettable.
That's a shame.
It was such a weird, like, story. Like, it just went in such a weird direction from that plot. Like, that could be quite a tense, tight film. You don't need to
last.
It's the moral kind of dilemma that makes it interesting.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, but it was such a weird film. And that's always kind of struck me as really bizarre. A Cure for Wellness, that's another one. I think that's a Netflix thing, or it's on Netflix.
Right, okay. I haven't heard of that one.
No, I mean, I'll issue a spoiler alert here, because this is sort of the ending. But it's this really weird film about, there's like this sort of hospital, and I've only seen bits of it, but I had to write about it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And there's this hospital, and they sort of pressure these people into status, like a wellness center, sort of rehab, spa thing. And it turns out, sort of all in the course of one scene, you find out that this sort of slightly sinister hospital is a front for these immortal leech creatures who are disguised as humans, and they suck the life force of people. And it's just, it was one of those where it felt like whoever had written that script had sort of had this idea all the way through, and then got to the end and just went, it's just eels. Like, eels did the whole thing.
That is a weird kind of concept. That is strange. Yeah,
it's, I mean, again, like, I don't have any screenwriting experience. I wouldn't even know where to start. So I don't like to sort of pick apart other people's work. But as someone who has written several stories, I just think, how is that ever going to be a satisfying ending? Like, you've got to know.
Yeah.
Not particularly in keeping with the tone of the rest of the film, and it does
kind of give you hope, because it's like, if that can get made, surely some of the stuff I do can surely get through at kind of one point. But like I say, it's fair, but it's fair play, because it all still gets made.
Someone
somewhere is saying, let's do this.
I mean, I think what you've got to remember with any sort of finished film is, that's the collaborative effort of hundreds and hundreds of people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
you know, you can't really understate the brilliance of that. And things do get lost in translation. And
definitely, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Then you look at classics, and a lot of the real classic films, real groundbreaking stuff, is the sort of brainchild of one or two people, and it's kind of kept sort of as close to their vision as possible. Like,
yes, that's it.
You know, Ari Aster's made a real splash as a director, but he sort of conceived these films by himself. And also, I've been watching the George A. Romero, you know, the zombie, like Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that revolutionized horror completely. And
yes, yeah.
When you watch the credits, there's only like maybe 100 names at most. Like, it's mad how small that production really was. So I do think there's something to be said for sort of smaller films and indie productions and stuff like that.
That's it. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm sort of at present, I'm writing a couple of different novels that I'm working on. And so, like, as I mentioned earlier, I find horror quite easy to write.
Yes.
I've written a horror story that I have sort of drawn inspiration from. As a kid, I lived in France for a while. And so I've taken this sort of idyllic French countryside and I've basically just stuck a monster in the middle of it.
Nice.
And so I've written that, and that's something that I think it's quite a common question that people ask, because especially writers, you get asked, who would you cast in a film to play you? And now my main character in that book is me as a child.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
I can't answer that, because you get so many child stars come out. Don't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
And there are so many child stars that are just thrown into these big roles that just absolutely smash it. So yeah, with child stars, it's a bit different. But I've written that, and I'd love to see that made into a film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Let's get it published first, I guess, and then we'll...
Yeah, like I say, but it can sometimes be an even better route to go down, writing a novel first and then seeing how it does, and then production companies will take it on, because...
I've sort of snookered myself a little bit, because, again, like, as much as I said earlier, I couldn't do a screenplay. I've not got the disposition for it. I do have very specific ideas. Like, when I write, I really visualize.
Yes.
And I know that with that story, there's no way that I could, on a non-existent budget, make that into a film. The monster in it alone wouldn't work.
Yeah, that's it.
It's really hard.
It is. That's the crazy thing. With my script that won the award, Stuck in the Past, my plan overall for that is to actually novelize it.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, the script can only contain so much of a story.
Yeah.
You have to do 90 to 110 pages, and then that's it. It kind of, no one's going to read any more after that.
No, but that's the thing. So much of your story in terms of a script is, it goes into the subtext, doesn't it? Which is sort of up to the actors. But I do think that while not everyone who writes fiction, not all of them could write a screenplay, but I think if you can write a screenplay, odds are you'll be able to write good fiction.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, I think it's a dialogue thing. I think if you've got a good ear for dialogue, you can write good fiction, because that's the thing that I find jarring about most people's writing is, if they can't write believable dialogue, then the whole story falls apart.
The last thing you want is kind of on the nose kind of dialogue where it's
wonky expositional stuff. Yeah,
yeah, where they're saying where they're kind of saying what they see.
Exactly. If you're capable of writing a screenplay where you've got sort of most of what you're saying being done, most of your story being told through what your characters are saying, I think you just sort of inherently get this talent for providing that exposition sort of organically.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, it's,
I mean, I have written, so I'm writing, my brain works a little bit sort of all over the place where I have to write about 10 things at once.
Oh, mate, I am the same. It's awful. I literally kick myself every single time.
It's difficult, because what I have to do is I have to limit myself to one project per genre.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I've got my horror, I've written a horror story, and as much as I'd like to see that as a film, it's not really plausible, sort of, as is. But I'm also writing, and I'm most of the way through writing, a sort of a black comedy. Which I won't give anything away, because there's a good chance I can get this published, because it's so unique.
It's exciting. It is exciting.
Yeah, but that's something that my main character in that is she's a woman, and she's quite unique. All of the characters are, actually. And that, for me, that's sort of where the comedy is. I've made this real weird bunch of characters.
Yeah.
The trick in making that would be the casting. But I do think, depending on what genre you're looking at, depending on what sort of style, I guess, you're going for, it really does depend on sort of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mate, absolutely, yeah. So it's,
for certain comedy, I think you're really relying on your actors and getting the right actors for the right parts. But in horror, I think it depends on the writing. I think a lot of horror, you need the right effects, you need the right team sort of to help you make it.
Yeah.
Sci-fi, again, you can't really do sci-fi without a budget. It just doesn't.
Yeah, that's it. It's
work anymore. People are expecting.
It's hard to get the budget.
Yeah, and I think it's sci-fi, fantasy. They're two genres that are so, I mean, they're saturated at the moment. You've got, you know, your superhero films, you've got these big space opera epics, and you can't, as a sort of indie filmmaker, there's no way you could break into that, realistically.
Yeah, a lot of the production companies who do these big sci-fi films, they already have hired writers who have years and years of, who are basically being writing for them for years.
Yeah, I mean, don't you find, so like, I mean, again, it's not something I've studied extensively, but just from my general sort of knowledge of how all of this works, the same basic people work on basically all of the big franchises. You've got, you know, J.J. Abrams. Recently disgraced Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
You know, they quite often they do a bit of writing, a bit of producing, a bit of directing. It does make it difficult for kind of new faces to.
It's probably the hardest business to really break into, the film kind of business. It's very, very hard to break into. I've tried to find an agent for a few months now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they won't read your script unless it's been okayed by like a director from a production company, or, you know, someone has come up to them and said, right, this guy's good. We shall take him on. But then if you go to production companies minus the agent,
they don't want to know. Yeah.
The production companies will say, right, well, you need an agent for us to even look at you.
Yeah. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
It's like blimey.
it's the same with trying to sell a book. It's exactly the same thing. The agents sort of, agents are some of the busiest people in any industry.
Yes,
they just have a staggering amount of work. And for an unknown, I mean, it takes months and months and months for them to even pick up what you send them, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
They make these snap decisions. They'll read your first three sentences. If it's not grabbed them, they're on to the next one.
That is a scary thing. That is a scary thing. You've just got to have them at the right time. You've got to have them at the right time of day.
Yeah.
Maybe after they've kind of like just had their lunch or something. You've just got to have them at the right time of day.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it does help though. Like now you've had a couple of sort of successful scripts in various places. I think surely that does go some way towards.
I have been in touch with people. I have been in touch with people, but it's a very slow process. It's always very, very slow.
It's slow until it's not, and then it will snowball, won't it? Just
exactly. That's it. I've had a few occasions where I thought, right, this is it. Door's open now, and all of a sudden the door's just slammed straight in my face again. It's like, okay, that's square one.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that is kind of the main takeaway for any creative in any industry.
Yes, definitely.
You just have to keep knocking on the doors and keep trying, not let it sort of knock you back. I mean, I've had so many rejection letters from agents and, you know, competitions and it is hard sometimes, I think, to be motivated, but
you just got to keep at it.
Yeah. And I think if you're a creative, I don't think you have a choice. you know.
Exactly, you have to be doing it. You literally, I feel awful if I don't at least at one point in the day sit and write.
Yeah, well, those stories, they once you're in the habit of writing them, they just come to you, don't they? You can't.
That's it. Yeah, you kind of spend all day thinking about these stories all day, and you just can't wait to kind of get back and start kind of getting at them.
It really consumes you, doesn't it? Like, yeah,
it does. Yeah, it does.
Every waking thought.
I'm not sure if it's a curse, but it's
well, yeah. I mean, really I guess crazy. That remains to be seen, doesn't it? You've got to.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I say, I read in a book recently about this screenwriter kind of wrote, and he said the average time it takes someone to break in is about 10 years.
Yes, yeah, mad.
And it's like it? Wow. Like I say, that is obviously there are. You know, people who have broken in before that.
But yeah.
It's a really hard industry, but I'm sure it's all worth it once you're in. I'm sure it's.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of transferable skills definitely as well. If you can, you know, like I said, if you can write a screenplay, you can write a book. And if you can visualize a film to write a screenplay, odds are you could make that film, you know, providing you had some sort of budget.
Definitely.
And I think being able to understand how a screenplay works, how it translates to the screen, I think that in and of itself gives you enough knowledge, really, that you could probably go out and start making your own films.
Yeah, I've done that last year in July. A friend of mine who's an actor, Luke, he kind of came to me and said, "Oh, yeah, I've got this idea for like a short film.
Yeah,
do you reckon you'll be able to write it?" And it was like a war film, and obviously I didn't know too much about war, so I kind of had to do some research.
Yeah.
It's kind of it was kind of like World War I, I think.
All right.
So I kind of done all the research, and I wrote like a 20 page script, and we kind of went into making that.
Yeah.
Kind of, but after a few weeks, we kind of realized how hard it actually kind of is. I think Tarantino said that. You know, the best film school you'll probably ever have is trying to make a film with no kind of budget. And yet it was really quite interesting. Unfortunately, we didn't actually get the film done, which is always the way. We kind of got about halfway through.
Yeah.
And then stuff just started going on. Our lives kind of got busier. We kind of came out of the whole COVID thing.
Yeah. You know, things. I mean, don't you find that's one of the biggest challenges when you're sort of starting out of these things is finding the not just the time to do it, but the kind of the emotional availability for it.
It
consumes so much of you. I mean, I wrote my first sort of finished draft of my novel. I wrote for 3 hours a night every night for 3 or 4 months.
That is impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was working 50-hour weeks. Like,
wow.
I was doing that, coming home, I'd eat, and then I'd write for 3 hours, and then I'd sleep for 3 hours and go back to work. And when I then came back to edit that draft, there were so many like typos, mistakes, so many things that made no sense. And I think you really have to invest so much into it that when it's not your living, it becomes a real, that's just a hurdle to overcome in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm writing a novel at the moment. I'm about just over 50,000 words in.
Aiming for about
75,000.
Yeah.
But I do kind of sometimes look back and read over it, which they kind of say you shouldn't when you're doing like the first draft. They say you should just whatever you do, just get it out. And then I think, oh blimey, this is gonna need a lot of editing after it's done.
I mean,
it's
a
special part of the process.
So when you write, I mean, again, this is only probably loosely film related now, but we can link it in. It's fine. When you write, do you tend to sort of plan out in advance, or do you just kind of have that general idea and then you just go with it?
When I first started out, I basically just pantsed it. I had this idea and I'd just sit down and I'd start going. But as I've kind of got into it more and more, I'm working a lot better when I've got a little plan in like a little book next to me. I've got this little plan I can always check to make sure I'm going on the right track.
Yes, that's very, very similar to how I started. Although I realized really early on that if I didn't plan, I was just meandering and sort of
exactly, yeah,
these weird tangents. And then I think, okay, but now I need to bring it back. And then I realized, okay, but now I've got a hanging thread right back at the start that, you know, and
that's so it.
I do sort of reluctantly have to plan things out, but I do, I mean, I think there's something to be said for having your characters make the decisions for you. And
yeah,
you
to, absolutely. Absolutely.
You've got to be able to look at how you're writing and sort of, you've got to understand your characters enough to know whether or not that's plausible.
Yeah, exactly. They say we've kind of out, sometimes the outlining can kind of kill the creativity in a way. So I think it's best not to kind of outline too much, kind of don't.
Yeah, like, you know, general do, plot points, but.
Yeah, not, and then kind of work around the kind of plot points. I think that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, so do you, that sort of leads me into another question, actually. Yeah. Do you edit all your own stuff, or do you have people who read it for you, tell you what works, what doesn't?
My girlfriend's great. She literally, she'll read anything I write. She will be brutally honest.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need someone who's going to, I mean, not sugarcoat it, but also to be constructive. I think when you know it comes from a place of love, it's a lot easier to hear.
That's
but...
it, yeah. My uncle was, he actually sold a script years ago. The script never actually got made, unfortunately. But I showed him the first script I wrote, the Stuck in the Past one. And I kind of went around his and he said like a few things. And then I said, so what do you think I need to change? He said, everything. And then he kind of went on to like give me a big list of this and that. But it was really, really, really beneficial, because otherwise the script probably wouldn't have went anywhere. I probably could have just...
I mean, I think that's a big part of any sort of creative endeavor, but writing especially, because it takes so much time.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you can put sort of months of your life into finishing a piece of writing, and to have someone turn around and say none of that really works is quite, that's crushing. But
it is, yeah.
I think that's a real test, sort of, as a writer. That's where you have to look at it and go, okay, do I want this enough to go back and redo the whole thing?
You've got to leave the ego at the door.
Yeah, and you've got to be a little bit of a masochist, I think, to want to go back and do that and have that sort of criticism leveled at you. But yeah, I think it is a humbling experience, definitely.
It's
the early stages, at least, and I imagine it gets worse as you go on.
yeah, like I say, I've had some criticism in the past, but you kind of just take it on and you kind of just do whatever you can to kind of make it better.
Got to do what, I mean, at the end of the day, they're the experts. They know what will get made and what will get published and what will play. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. It's interesting.
It's turned into a bit of a writer's workshop.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Harry, it has been absolutely brilliant having you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for really joining me. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. You've been the first ever guest as well, so that's a real claim to fame.
That is an honour. That is an honour.
I said a few weeks ago, we get a lot of listeners around the world. There's about 20 people who listen in India. There's about 25, 30 people who listen in Germany.
Wow.
It's a bizarre demographic, but, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's
obviously doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, we're going international.
That's it.
Translators in, but, you know. If you're not already, you can follow Corner of Film on all the social medias at Corner of Film. Drop me a message on there. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, I'd love to have you on. Tell me about your favorite films. Tell me about what you hate. I like to hear it. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, you can do so at Lord of the Grey, where I'll keep you up to date on whatever I'm working on or just the daily innermost workings of my brain. Harry, thank you once again for joining me. You've been an excellent guest.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, well, we will talk again soon. And I personally will be back next week with my co-host Jack for a little more complaining about film. I mean, we do more than complain, but mostly we complain. So I will catch you next time.